So are you ready
for your show? Hola, baby. Soy Little Steven. Bienvenido a Little Steven's Underground Garage and Rock FM.
Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hola familia, buenas noches. Soy Carlos Medina y juntos nos disponemos a despedir el fin de semana al ritmo que nos vaya marcando Little Steven. Tanto es así que esta noche nos embarcaremos en un viaje fascinante, la vida del escritor Jack Kerouac, uno de los grandes pioneros de lo que vendría a llamarse como la generación Beat. Pero antes de partir, le damos la bienvenida a nuestro guía turístico favorito. Buenas noches, Little. Arrancamos el Underground Garage con la mejor banda sonora. Ellos son The Jay Gales Band y con la banda de Boston, comienza el show aquí en Rock FM, Cruising for a Love. Buenas noches, familia.
Kind of New Hampshire of pink suspenders, strawberry blondes, and barbershop quartets came the ancestors. Down from Quebec in the French-Canadian section of Nashua, Leo, the newspaper reporter and typesetter, met Gabrielle, the orphan shoe factory worker. They married and moved 14 miles down the Merrimack River to the textile and tenement town of Lowell, Massachusetts, where three children were born, Gerard, Caroline, and Jean. Jean, who would eventually be called Jack, was born in the upstairs bedroom of a frame house on Lupine Road, March 12, 1922, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. A rosy late winter sundown suffused the natal chamber with a pink glow that Jack would later recall. I perceived it through beads hanging in the door and through lace curtains and glass of a universal sad lost redness of mortal damnation. The snow was melting. Jack would devour, make love to, and push to new limits a language called English, which he wouldn't speak until he was 5 years old, and after the most important event of his life had passed, the death of his older brother, Gerard. Jack looked up to Gerard the way all younger brothers do, in spite of his rheumatic fever that made him a virtual invalid his entire short-lived life. Jack's idealistic love of his brother had an additional religious dimension due to the natural saintliness Gerard possessed. Gerard would bring home hungry children, speak to the birds in the windowsill like St. Francis, free mice from traps, and when the shelves rattled and shook for no reason in the house, he would speak to the ghosts who he said lived under it, and the shaking would stop. Jack could never shake the idea that he had betrayed God by not dying in Gerard's place. But that was not his destiny, and his Uncle Joe told him, "You are destined to be a man of big sadness and talent. It will never help to live or die. You'll suffer like the others, probably more." By seventh grade, he was in an all-English class and the world would open up. Mark Twain, Jack London, William Saroyan, Thomas Wolfe, Ernest Hemingway, Walt Whitman, Damon Runyon, and later Dashiell Hammett and James M. Cain. He'd always loved football, but he would become a writer. An imagination full of adventure and a hunger to escape his rueful dreams of rust and loss would show up in his earliest attempt at a novel at age 11. He would write, "He started out in the swamps of the Merrimack somewhere and went floating down further and further into lighter, stranger, greener, ever-expanding adventures that must and do ultimately take you to a flat marsh by the sea. Great ears of corn along a waving grass veldt, scents of something, smoke of a city, something mad and wild and far, far gone from the tangled, viney place where you started when the dream began." Yeah, there it is, 11 years old. The same basic story of a tantalizing power that removes one from humdrum existence and takes one on a remarkable voyage can be found underlying everything he would write for the next 25 years. His desperate need to escape, combined with a guilt-ridden passion to confess and a profound compulsion to communicate the rare moments of life's joyfulness, while all the while drinking away the ever-present haunting of the specter of death, would create art that would liberate Western culture. Jack Kerouac's On the Road would accomplish nothing less than changing our consciousness forever.
Thank you. Well, let me answer you. Take my way, that's the highway, that's the best.
This is Lawrence Ferlinghetti, and you're listening to Little Steven's Underground Garage, the Coney Island of radio.
Everything came out of the horn. No more phrases, just cries. Cries. Bah! And down to beep. And up to ee! And down to clinkers and over to sideways, echoing horn sounds and horse laughs. And he tried everything. Up and down and sideways. Upside down. Dog fashion. Horizontal. 30 degrees. 40 degrees. And finally he fell back in somebody's arms and gave up. And everybody pushed around and yelled, yes, yes. He done blowed that one.
Thank you. Are you going to stand there and tell me Shakespeare could have written his works better in jive talk?
Yes, sir. Are you familiar with Shakespeare's funeral oration?
But I was very familiar with a girl in one of Shakespeare's company at one time.
A little translation for you.
Well, I certainly wish you would. And give us an example.
I could do an inch and a half of the Friends Roman's Countrymen.
I would love it.
And Hip, it blows this way. It says, "Hipsters, flipsters, and finger, pop in daddy's, knock me your lobes."
That means give me your ears, I presume. All I can say is that it's a good thing that Shakespeare's dead. And if he'd have been alive to hear it, that would have killed him.
Doc, I started to swerve, and then I saw the jag slide into the curve. I know I'll never forget that horrible sight. I guess I found out for myself that everyone was right.
Won't come back from Dead Man's Curve.
Welcome to the Underground Garage celebration of legendary writer Jack Kerouac. His birthday is this week, March 12th. We're going to be talking about him, his Beat Generation buddies, and of course his amazing book, On the Road, which arguably changed the world. I would be on the positive side of that argument. Quite a literary fellow himself, Peter Wolf, kicked us off. J. Giles Band, Cruising for Love. The whole band wrote it on their first album. Dave Crawford and Brad Shapiro producing. The Rolling Stones covering Bobby Troup, but really they were covering Chuck Berry. Chuck Berry's version of Nat King Cole's hit of a Bobby Troup song, to be precise. We found the origin of that riff, by the way. The Stones, of course, as usual, doing their amazing arranging. They are the absolute kings of the cover record, and we've done whole shows on that. But the riff, which does exist on the Chuck Berry version, more of a Johnny Jones piano riff in the beginning, we found it in the third verse of the Nat King Cole version. It is Nat accompanying himself on piano, and right before the end, in the third verse, he starts playing that riff. That famous riff. Which Chuck Berry picked up on, or Johnny Jones picked up on.
And the Rolling Stones turned it into a classic. It's funny listening back now how clearly Nat King Cole says the names of the cities. We would have given big bucks when I was a kid to have heard that version. It took us weeks and maybe months till someone in the band had the brains to actually take out a map. Because we couldn't understand any of the cities, you know, with the way Mick Jagger said them. And finally somebody took out a map. Yeah, I know it seems obvious now. What can I say? I mean, the Sonics, Have Love Will Travel. Yeah, Buck, Hornsby, and Kent Morrow. They themselves, members of the Wailers, and Richard Berry following up his Louie Louie with that one.
Get Radical, Dolly Rott's new single. Get it from wickedcoolrecords.com. Kelly Ogden and Luis Cabezas wrote it, and John Fields and Luis produced it.
The Amazing Junior Walker and the All-Stars. I guess one of the very few Motown hits that was not the Funk Brothers. If you haven't seen that Standing in the Shadows of Motown, I recommend it. I didn't need the contemporary people singing those songs myself, but didn't kind of fast forward through them. There's a couple of good ones, don't get me wrong. I mean, Gerald LaVert is actually quite good, and Joan Osborne, and, you know, they're good. But who cares? You know, when I hear the vocal, you just listen to the record. I want to hear from the guys. I want to hear from, you know, how they made those records. And I could use a little bit more information about that, starting with the arrangers. Listen up, anybody who is a Motown researcher fanatic. I need to know the arrangers of every single Motown song. That should be listed somewhere. We need to know that. And it is not listed anywhere that we can find. But I digress. Where was I? Dead Man's Curve, I believe. Yes, we were in L.A. where Motown sadly ended up. Jan and Dean also rather sadly ended up on Dead Man's Curve, ironically. Jan, anyway. We're celebrating Jack Kerouac. Get out your bongos, baby. We're going to go to commercial with the Nat King Cole version. In that last verse, where he plays the riff.
Won't you get hip to this timely tip? When you make that California trip, get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Estás en Rock FM escuchando el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Esta noche nuestro protagonista es el estadounidense Jack Kerouac, uno de los escritores que formaron parte del movimiento literario conocido como Generación Beat. Con ello se hace referencia al fenómeno cultural del mismo nombre surgido en la década de los 50 en los Estados Unidos, que básicamente rechazaban de forma muy abierta los valores sociales clásicos del país y promulgaba una gran libertad sexual, el uso de drogas y el estudio también de la filosofía oriental. Estos y otros elementos darían lugar más tarde al movimiento hippie. Nuestro protagonista nació en Lowell, en Massachusetts, un 12 de marzo de 1922. Hijo de padres franco-canadienses, tenía un hermano y una hermana mayor. La infancia de Kerouac, la verdad, no fue sencilla. Con 6 años perdió a su hermano a causa de la fiebre reumática. Es un hecho que le marcaría de por vida y que se reflejó en su obra Visiones de Gerard. A raíz de esta pérdida, su padre los abandonó y su madre buscó refugio en el catolicismo. De ello se deriva de alguna forma la devoción de Kerouac hacia el desarrollo de sus inquietudes espirituales. Siendo ya adulto, por ejemplo, estudió y practicó budismo. Pero antes de aquello pasó por el Boston College con una beca concedida por sus habilidades en el deporte, concretamente en el fútbol americano. Esto le daría paso a la universidad. Aquí comienza realmente nuestro viaje. Enseguida continuamos, pero antes nos quedamos, cómo no, con Little Steven. ¡Dale, maestro!
Hello, well, man, well, I belong to the beach. generation. I don't let anything trouble my mind. I belong to the B generation, and everything's going just fine.
Weirdsville, yeah.
Some people say I'm lazy and my life's a wreck, but that stuff doesn't
matter. Welcome back to the Underground Garage celebration of Jack Kerouac, born Jean-Louis Lebris du Kerouac. Yeah, nice Italian boy. The 50s were all about conforming. What was an upstanding citizen of the 50s supposed to feel? Gratitude, that's what. Gratitude because we won World War II. Gratitude because we had just invented the suburbs and everybody could have a house, because we had just invented credit. They could have a house and a car or two. There was money, there was peace, you know, sort of. There was security. We were number one. So we invented a middle class. And I tell you what, we'll throw in an Elvis or two to keep you kids happy, huh? What do you say? Well, into all this gratitude comes two guys named Allen Ginsberg and William Burroughs, and they are not grateful. They are, in fact, natural-born troublemakers. The two befriend young Jack Kerouac, who had come to Columbia University on a football scholarship, but had dropped out and become attracted to Allen and William's bohemian sensibility in search for a new philosophy. The three had some things in common. They were born disillusioned, for three different reasons, as it turned out, but shared a common distrust for the nicely packaged life society was offering. It was Kerouac who suggested the radical possibility of just walking away. Regardless of what obligations, responsibilities, and guilt society tried to stick you with, you can just get in your terraplane and fly. The Beat Generation was born. Together, they anticipated most everything that would characterize the 60s, 10, 15 years later. Buddhism, meditation, and all things Eastern philosophy. Ecological concerns, civil rights, drugs of all kind, sex of all kind, autobiographical art, a rejection of materialism, and a rejection of the common definitions of time and space. Ginsberg's Howl and Burroughs' Naked Lunch would complete the trilogy of the new style, but Kerouac's On the Road would reach the public, and for the first time, a new generation would experience the revelation of unlimited possibilities.
And throw dice. I was just 13 when I
Miss Muffet sat on her tuffet, and what a big tuffet she had. If you're feeling insecure, just stand next to her, and then you won't feel quite so bad. Thank you.
America, when will we end the human war? I don't feel good. Don't bother me. I won't write my poem till I'm in my right mind. America, when will you be angelic? When will you take off your clothes? When will you look at yourself through the grave? When will you be worthy of your million Trotskyites? America, why are your libraries full of tears? America, when will you send your eggs to India? I'm sick of your insane demands. When can I go into the supermarket and buy what I need with my good looks?
See, I wanna be famous, I start. this is Jim Carroll, and you're with Little Steven in the Underground Garage, saluting Jack Kerouac.
Continue our on-the-road theme with Ramblin' Gamblin' Man Bob Seger's best record, credited to the Bob Seger system at that point, in 68. Punch Andrews himself producing. Bob never made a better record than that. And it was like his, fourth single, something like that? We play them all. We play all those early singles by Bob. They are great garage rock singles. We Are Magic from RSO. Richie Sambora and Orianti, two great guitar players and singers, produced by Bob Rock. Get it from rsoofficial.com. The Beatles Drive My Car, mostly Paul McCartney, a little bit of John Lennon in the composition. Ringo Starr on the cowbell. One of my favorite Beach Boys records, Cherry Cherry Coop. It was not a hit. It wasn't even a B-side, I don't think. You know, usually we find some cool B-sides, but this one, just an album track. Spectacular. We're celebrating the cat that changed the world, really. Jack Kerouac. We're going to go to the break with the original writer of Route 66's version, Bobby Troup.
If you ever plan to board a bus, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. It winds from Chicago to LA, more than 2,000 miles all the way. Get your kicks on Route
66. Estás escuchando
Little Steven's Underground Garage
en Rock FM.
Hola, soy Alex Clavero, el francotirador. Como cada mañana en El Pirata y su Banda, he vuelto a no dejar títere con cabeza, pero sin faltar.
Yo creo que si tú vas a esquiar la primera vez, no te deberían dejar ir solo. Me fui a montar en un telesilla, no, nos embistió aquello, uno de ellos diciendo, a ver, una mano aquí, un pie allí, digo, estoy yo para jugar al Twister ahora. Me lo hizo pasar tan mal el banco que se tenía que llamar Bankia. Si no sabía subirme, imaginad que no sé bajarme. Entonces,
claro.
Sí, yo me fui con el banco y volví con el banco. ¿Sabes por qué? Pero se engancharon los spinkies al banco, yo haciendo la croqueta, y ahí sí, por fin sale de la cabina una señora y me empieza a gritar, ¡muy mal! ¡Así no! Sabías que esto iba a pasar y no lo has parado porque has dicho, ¡para! ¡Pero vamos a reír!
Mañana, a las 9 menos 10, estoy de vuelta.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su Banda. Somos Rock FM. se trata solo de un concierto. Se trata de vivir toda una experiencia. Rock FM te trae a Roger Waters en España. El fundador y alma de Pink Floyd, rodeado de los grandes iconos en la historia de la música. Los cerdos que vuelan, El muro y clásicos que han marcado tu vida. 13 y 14 de abril en Barcelona, 24 y 25 de mayo en Madrid. Un espectáculo de imagen y sonido como nunca has visto antes. Entradas ya a la venta en LiveNation.es, Ticketmaster y El Corte Inglés. Por fin, Roger Waters en nuestro país. Con Rock FM.
Sigues en el Underground Garage de Rock FM. Esta noche, Little Steven se ha propuesto recorrer la vida de uno de los grandes escritores estadounidenses, Jack Kerouac. Nos habíamos quedado en el momento en que Kerouac abandona la universidad. Entonces decidió mudarse con su pareja a Nueva York, donde conocería a otros autores como Allen Ginsberg, Neil Cassady o William S. Burroughs, entre otros, todos narradores de aquella generación beat. En 1942 se unió a la Marina Mercante y un año después a la Marina de los Estados Unidos, aunque ahí fue descartado 8 días después tras ser diagnosticado de personalidad esquizoide. De modo que fue un paso fugaz. Sin embargo, estando en la Marina Mercante, escribió su primera novela, El mar es mi hermano, que no fue publicada hasta 2011. Desde entonces siguió escribiendo hasta que llegó el momento de su gran obra, El camino. Fue concebida entre 1948 y 1949 en su mayor parte y terminada en 1951. Es en parte autobiográfica. En la novela, por ejemplo, se narran los viajes de Kerouac por Estados Unidos y México con un grupo de amigos durante 3 semanas y que, bueno, mitificó también luego aquella Ruta 66. En El camino es considerada como la novela definitiva de la generación beat y a su autor como el nuevo Charlie Parker. Música y prosa se unen en una perfecta y orquestada improvisación. La novela terminó de escribirla en 3 semanas y su resultado fue lo que él mismo conocía como el rollo. Y es que resulta que es así como la escribió, en un rollo de papel sin párrafos ni márgenes. Hoy día, ese rollo es propiedad de James Isrey, propietario de un equipo de fútbol estadounidense. La fama le llegó prácticamente al instante con la publicación de En el camino, algo que no casaba muy bien con la personalidad de Jack Kerouac. Enseguida te lo cuento, pero antes nos quedamos con nuestro guitarrista favorito. Dale, Little.
Everything is going to the beat. It's the beat generation. It's Bayat. It's the beat to keep the beat of the heart. It's like being beaten down the world and like old time low down. And like in ancient civilizations, the slave boatmen rowing galleys to a beat. And servants spinning pottery to a beat, like beatific. Welcome back to the Underground Garage, tribute to Jack Kerouac. Beat culture is the avant-garde circus populated by hustlers, swindlers, whores, hobos, rogues, charlatans, bebop jazz players, aimless travel, outlaw values, freaks, misfits, and outcasts all engage in the mysterious making of art. You know, as in the art of life. And speaking of freaks, misfits, and outcasts, out there in Radio Land, there is a format called Outlaw Country. And way deep in Outlaw Country is a renegade named Mojo Nixon. No relation to Dick. Let's hear how he feels about Jack Kerouac.
Mojo Nixon broadcasting from the Shack by the Sea in Coronado, California. Outlaw Country. Friends, I know it's cold where you are. Oh, I know you're freezing your ass off and there's nothing on TV. You know what you might do? You might read a good book. On a cold winter night, you might sit down with a good book. You only read one book, the one book you got to read. On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Friends, it was on this date in 1957. That's the birth of cool. The beginning of beatnik. The nasty note from the underground that blows the puny minds of all the petty bourgeoisie in Squaresville. Man, On the Road is a wild, crazy, free, liberating book about sex, cars, jazz, drugs, truth, friendship, and America. Two psychic outlaws on the go reading Henry Miller and Mad Magazine. Iconoclastic nonconformist hipsters who refuse to be squashed by the man and forced to smoke the devil's pole. Read On the Road and feel alive. Read On the Road and feel the wanderlust of the wide open American frontier. Read On the Road and know that we are all uncouth delinquents, ruffians, roustabouts, and hoodlums. Hopped up on goofballs and revolution and ready to open the doors of perception, my friend. On the Road changes everything. The monster is unleashed. The hollering homosexual Hebrew Allen Ginsberg writes how. The gonzo beat poem of all time that begins, I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving hysterical naked upon Negro streets at dawn. William Burroughs writes Naked Lunch, which leads to Charles Bukowski and Tom Waits drinking in some dive bar downtown L.A. Lawrence Ferlinghetti's Coney Island States of Mind infects Ken Kesey, Tom Wolfe, and Hunter S. Thompson. Lenny Bruce brings forth Richard Pryor, who begets Bill Hicks, who spawns Chris Rock. On the Road single-handedly leads to the Beatles taking acid at Cary Grant's house and Abby Hoffman raining money from the balcony of the New York Stock Exchange. Charlie Parker and Thelonious Monk, Norman Mailer and Nick Toshes, the MC5 and The Clash, Jackson Pollock and Marlon Brando, Johnny Cash and David Allan Coe are all children of that frog Canadian Kerouac and his demented, delirious, and defiant book, On the Road. If you only read one book for the rest of your life, this is the book to read, my friends. If the mortgage and the man are sucking the life out of you like vampires of conformity, get some cool kicks and bust out of Nowheresville, cat, by laying some eyeballs down on that swinging, gone great American novel, On the Road, Daddy-O.
Now you may come.
Be right.
man was a bread stasher all his life. He never got fat. He wound up with a used car, a 17-inch screen, and arthritis. Tamari is a drag, man. Tamari is a king-size bust. They cry, put down pot, don't think a lot. For what? Time, how much, and what to do with it? Sleep, man, and you might wake up digging the whole human race, giving itself 3 days to get out. Tamara is a drag, pops. The future is a flake.
Tell me, do you find that you are criticized by your peers in speaking the jazz idiom?
Well, like, who's to say what's normal, man?
Oh, yes.
It's just like with them great jazz poets like Ira Gitlin, Nat Hentoff, and Lawrence Marble, Kenny Drew, and Leroy Vinnegan, Miles Davis, and Herb Kane. Just like what all them cats say, man.
And what do they say?
I don't know, but I dig dropping all them names.
Yeah.
Sharp wind like a razor blade.
Hey, Daddy-O. This is Ed Kookie Burns, and you are in the right place at the right time. I'm talking about the wigged-out swanctification of the ginchiest scene in Radioland, Underground Garageville.
Let's party again!
Yeah!
that Mojo Nixon gets over his shyness, he's going to be all right. A little bit introverted to be a radio DJ, but once he comes out of his shell, I have faith that he's going to be quite a talented broadcaster. Jenny, take a ride. Mitch Ryder in the Detroit Wheels. We are looking at a picture of the single where it credits Richard Penniman, of course, Little Richard, Enotris Johnson, who we have spoken about before, who happens to be Little Richard's father, and Bob Crewe, which frankly I do not understand. The song starts off with C.C. Ryder, which most of the time gets credited to Ma Rainey, so she's getting screwed completely here. And Bob Crewe, Bob, one of the great producers of all time. We celebrate him regularly. I don't get that one. Down on the Boulevard. Cool record, don't you think? The Pop. Okay, cool record. Stupid name. What can I tell you? That's why you never heard of him since. Fabulous record, though. For Real. Prima Donna's new one. The album is ST. Get it on Wicked Cool Records. Eric Palmquist producing. Dee Dee Sharp out of the Cameo Parkway Stable. One of the great underrated record labels. Dave Appel and Cal Mann writing that one. Dee Dee was a background singer and 17 years old when she hit with Mashed Potatoes, Mashed Potato Time. Cal Mann and Bernie Lowe, the third of the Cameo Parkway Trinity, changed her name to Dee Dee Sharp because, yeah, she's sagging Dee Sharp. She would later marry Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Huff, who created Philadelphia International Records. Unfortunately, as far as I'm concerned, but that's just me. I don't like anything out of there. Anyway, Highway Child, Jimi Hendrix Experience, B-side, The Wind Cries Mary on track. Jimmy wrote it, Chaz Chandler producing, and yeah, baby, we'll be back with our coolest song in the world this week. We're going to go to the break with Chuck Berry's version of Route 66 from the beginning so you can hear the riff.
Well, if you ever plan to motor west, Jack, take my way. It's the highway that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66. Well, it winds from Chicago to L.A.
Llegó el momento de hacer un alto en el camino, nunca mejor dicho, esta noche. Es hora de detenernos en uno de los clásicos del Underground Garage de Little Steven, la canción más chula de la semana. Hoy tenemos el honor de compartir contigo material de lujo que vio la luz hace bien poquito, de uno de los grandes músicos de la historia como es el señor Jimi Hendrix. La canción más chula de la semana es una versión nunca antes publicada de Lover Man, Hendrix como protagonista del show de Little Steven, aquí en Rock FM. ¡Dale, maestro!
Welcome back to the Underground Garage celebration of Jack Kerouac, where we do swing weekly. Indianapolis Colts owner Jim Irsay paid $2.43 million for the 120-foot scroll that Kerouac pieced together from 12-foot sheets of teletype paper, on which he wrote On the Road in 20 consecutive days, April 2nd to April 22nd. 1951. It would have no paragraphs and be what he would call his spontaneous writing style, stream of consciousness-like. It was his third draft and the one influenced by Neil Cassady's letters, Neil, of course, being the real-life character Dean Moriarty was based on the Road. The letters were all first-person, fast, mad, confessional, completely serious and detailed, as Jack put it. Ed White, a Denver friend of Neil Cassady's, suggested Kerouac sketch events like a painter.
And these two elements would transform and complete one of the most influential books of the 20th century.
Our coolest song in the world this week comes from Seattle, via the Chitlin' Circuit, via Greenwich Village, via London. Please welcome back to the Underground Garage stage, Jimi Hendrix. Your window, baby.
slums of the big town, as packed with drama and danger as the squalid streets of some native quarter. In the heart of this melting pot of crime stands an oasis, where one man struggles against the forces that turn his loved ones to lives of violence and shame.
You heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's great, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
Thank you. modern design. Black convertible top and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about 8:30. Going round the corner and get a feel for everybody, and my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
Started that set with our coolest song in the world this week, Lover Man, from Jimi Hendrix. The album is Both Sides of the Sky and has to be his 150th album since he died. I don't know, man. Somebody must have been just walking around with a tape recorder for basically the 4 years he was with us. Us meaning making records and touring. It's incredible, really. But the man never did a thing that wasn't cool. So Jimmy wrote the song and produced it, did it at the record plant, and it's with the band of gypsies, Buddy Miles and Billy Cox. Our coolest song in the world this week from Jimi Hendrix, Love a Man. The Locomotion's Little Eva, the legendary DJ Dan Ingram, who I loved growing up, actually believed this record was sung by Carole King. But it was not. It was sung by Carole King's babysitter, Eva Narcissus Boyd.
Like a bird.
Jerry Geffen and Carole King writing and producing, obviously. And what a record that is. Huh? The Dictators, I Live for Cars and Girls. And I happen to know Andy Chernoff. And I happen to know that that is true. He's not speaking metaphorically or symbolically. He lives for cars and girls, okay? And he's damn proud of it. And so did Jackie Brinston, by the way, and his Delta Cats, a name completely made up by Sam Phillips because it was actually Ike Turner's band. And Ike, feeling generous that night, let the sax player sing one. And then he goes and gets famous from it. That piano intro by Ike Turner, copied note for note by Little Richard on Good Golly Miss Molly. Ike, 19 at the time. Amazing when you think about that. You know, you picture him being older always. Sam Phillips producing before he had Sons, so he gave it to the Chess Brothers. Some consider that the first rock and roll record. We got more cool stuff having to do with the man that changed the world, Jack Kerouac. Come on back.
I was cool.
Esto es Little Steve's Underground Garage. Volvemos en un segundo en Rock FM.
El Pirata y su Banda. Como un desayuno en la cama con Belén Esteban.
Cuidadito.
Que de Putin no, pero de Lenin sí que me compraría un calendario.
¿Ah, sí? ¿Por qué?
Porque vendrían todos los días en rojo.
Ah, claro, sí, efectivo.
Cada mañana de 6 a 10, rock y diversión en Rock FM con El Pirata y su Banda. Somos Rock FM.
Bueno, familia, estamos llegando al final del show de esta noche aquí en el Underground Garage de Little Steven, pero antes quería compartir contigo algún apunte más sobre el protagonista de la noche, el señor Jack Kerouac. Por ejemplo, que escribió sobre una de sus grandes inquietudes, que era el budismo. Y esto, por ejemplo, quedó reflejado en su obra The Dharma Bums. Pero las críticas de algunos maestros zen y del filósofo Alan Watts no le sentaron muy bien, la verdad, a Jack Kerouac. Le dejaron devastado. Aún así, es cierto que su éxito era imparable y muchos editores le reclamaban trabajos que ya tenía escritos, pero que hasta entonces fueron rechazados, fíjate. Y es que esta nueva condición de famoso, la verdad que a Jack Kerouac no le sentaba muy bien, y en 1958 decidió mudarse para cuidar de su madre. Un 20 de octubre del 69, Kerouac no se encontraba bien y empezó a vomitar sangre. Su mujer le llevó al hospital, donde fue intervenido, pero nada se pudo hacer por su vida. Kerouac presentaba una avanzada cirrosis. En aquel momento se encontraba escribiendo sobre una novela que trataría de la imprenta de su padre en Lowell, Massachusetts. Jack Kerouac, gran protagonista de la noche aquí en Rock FM. Todo tuyo, maestro.
Jack
Welcome back to the Underground Garage. Let's give a little quote here from Jack Kerouac. But when they danced down the streets like dingle dodies, and I shambled after, as I've been doing all my life after people who interest me, because the only people for me are the mad ones. The ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time. The ones that never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, burn, burn like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars. And in the middles, you see the blue center light pop. And everybody goes, oh, yeah. We lost Jack Kerouac, October 21st, 1969, St. Petersburg, Florida. We will not see his kind again soon. Go get on the road, read it for the first time, or reread it. In a world where we are constantly distracted by the silliest irrelevancies, and while our culture drowns in mediocrity, you will be surprised at how exhilarating On the Road still is.
Son, Abe said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. Abe said, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, on down Highway 61. Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. They asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. Said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. And he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. Second mother, this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and it was both out on Highway 61. Now the roving gambler, he was very bored, trying to create a next world war. This kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done. We'll just put some bleachers out in the sun and have it on Highway 61.
This is Bob Dylan. We are saluting Jack Kerouac with little Steven in the Underground Garage.
Pistol and I'm rolling down the East Sea Bowl. Got my diesel wound up and she running.
got to see my baby tonight. It seemed like a month since I kissed my baby bye-bye. I got a lot of woman, but I'm not like some other guy. Got my air horns running clear. Baby, you ought to watch the way I shift my gear. 6 days upon the road, and I got to see my baby tonight.
That's all I can recall of Brooklyn Bridge tonight. John A. Roebling, and Washington Roebling built it, and it have cables, and it does one good to cross it every day. See my eerie wiseness? Good night, innocent children of this mortal sangsara world. You have to keep your mind empty, tranquil, and pure, or the whole eternal light escapes you. Without the eternal light, you're only a yakking fool of rooms, beds, graves, and monuments. With it, you are like the silent mountains of snow.
Started with Highway 61 Revisited, title track of Bob's sixth album. Bob Johnson, producing. Taj Mahal, covering Dave Dudley. David Rubinson producing. Taj Mahal had a great band, the great Jesse Ed Davis, Gary Gilmore, Chuck Blackwell, and before that, Ry Cooder was in the band too.
Like him, The Dirty Truckers, written by Tom Baker, produced by David Minahan. Get it from rumbarrecords.com.
Go, Little Camaro, go. Joey Ramone writing it for the Ramones. Debbie Harry backing vocals. 10th album. And The Great Trucking Man by Moby Grape. Bass player Bob Mosley writing that one. And again, we got a little David Rubinson production. That was Moby Grape's third album, actually, Moby Grape 69. There were amazing things on all three. You should get them all.
Now I have to face stupid reality again.
We want to thank the Hard Rock cafes, hotels, casinos, and the Seminole coolest Indian tribe ever for being our sponsor from day one. And I want to thank all of the Hard Rock employees around the world as we stop in and do our DJ thing when we're on the road. Nicest people in the world, in addition to the best food. And someday will be a rock and roll circuit. I'm never going to give up on that. We want to thank Premier Networks, our new syndicator, Julie Talbot, Rick Bucchietti, Tanya Juhasz, and Corey Neal. Forgive the pronunciation. I'll get it right eventually. And if you're in need of any guitars or amps or tambourines, go see Andy Babuke. I want to thank our... Is Intrepid the word? Or is that an aircraft carrier? Dennis Mortensen, who puts the show together every week in spite of the odds. Go to undergroundgarage.com if you've missed any of our last 750 shows. And Facebook and Twitter and at Stevie Van Zandt. You can talk to me personally. And thank you, Alan Freed. We'll see you all next week.
And that's the name of that tune.
Ciao, baby.
Nice ride.
Come back to Jersey, you moron!
That's entertainment. That's entertainment.
Bueno, familia, ahora sí que sí, hemos llegado al final del show de esta noche del Underground Garage de Little Steven aquí en Rock FM, una noche en la que hemos recordado a ese genial escritor que era Jack Kerouac. Yo soy Carlos Medina y si te apetece, por supuesto que te emplazo a que nos encontremos una vez más el domingo que viene a las 10 de la noche en el Underground Garage de Little Steven. Hasta entonces, feliz semana. Un abrazo, familia. Buenas noches.